The elephant, being an animal, the elephant didn't really appreciate this as special mercy from a great saint. The elephant felt, oh, what's this? Someone stuck something on me. Oh, just grabbed it in his trunk and threw it on the ground. So when Devasamuni saw that, he got very upset that I give you my prasadam, and you treat it like that. Poor. So he cursed Lord Indra and the demigods. And it is a long story. It really is a long story. And things go back and forth quite a bit. But basically what happened was that the demons had pleased their teacher, their guru. Guru not in the sense of really spiritual master, but guru in the sense of teacher. Like when you're at school and, you know, your maths teacher. You know your maths teacher. It's sort of like a type of a guru. But not really like spiritual master. You understand? Got it? Yeah. So, their teacher was Shukracharya. And he was a Brahmin, but he was very, like Karmakandiya, materialistic Brahmin, interested in just different types of material benefits, and so on and so forth. But, even though he's not a spiritual master and he's not spiritually advanced, actually he's not a devotee at all. He's a non-devotee. But he is teacher. He is Brahman. He is teacher. So the demons were following his instructions very nicely. And as a result of that, they became very powerful. Did you know that? You follow the instructions of your teacher, you'll become very powerful. Yeah. So that the demons became powerful and attacked the demigods. Due to the curse of Devasamuni, the demigods lost their power. And the demons defeated the demigods. As I said, it is a long story. It does go back and forth. But in the end, this is what happened. That the demons defeated the demigods, kicked them out of the heavenly planets, and the demons, headed by Bali Maharaj, occupied the heavenly planets. And there they were, enjoying life on the heavenly planets, doing all sorts of things, just sense gratification. So this was going on. But then Aditi, the mother of the demigods, she became very disturbed that my children got so badly treated and abused. And now they've lost everything. So Aditi became extremely concerned. I must do something to help my children, the demigods. So her husband, Kasyapa, said, okay, then if you want to do something to get some special power from the Lord or mercy from the Supreme Lord to change the situation, then you must do the Payavrata ceremony. Payavrata. There's a whole chapter describing it. It's some ceremony of austerities and different things to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she did it very nicely. The Lord became pleased, and he agreed. He appeared before her. She said, I want you to appear, and I want you to save the situation. So the Lord agreed. So then the scene shifts to the heavenly planets. There is the king of the demons. What was the name of the king of the demons? Bali Maharaj was sitting on the throne of Lord Indra in the palace of Lord Indra and enjoying life. And who should walk in but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in a special form, just like a little boy, a little child, maybe just 5, 6 years old, something like that. A little boy dressed as a brahmachari, as like a little saintly little boy. He came walking in, and he looked so saintly, so nice, so sweet. A little brahmachari in saffron with a danda, with a water pot. He just looked like the epitome of spiritual sweetness. And everyone was very astonished when they saw him. And Bali Maharaj, one of his characteristics was he was extremely charitable. If anyone, particularly a Brahmin, particularly if any Brahmin would approach him, then, or even not approach him, but he would just see some Brahmin, he would immediately offer that, "Oh, my dear Brahmin, please let me give you some charity. Tell me what you would want." So Lord Vamana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this form, he approached Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj said, "Yes, you ask me for whatever you want and I'll give it to you, anything, no limit." And Lord Vamana thought and said, "Okay, will you please give me as much land as I can cover with 3 steps? Three of my steps." Now, just consider, if some, you know, extremely great personality asked you the same question, "You can ask me for whatever you like, and I'll give it, anything. There's no limit." What would you ask for? What would you ask for?
What's it?
Ah, okay, that's good. To meet Krishna. And after you met him, what would you do?
I'll remember the rest of my life.
I think you should stay with him forever. So anyway, this is what Lord Vamana asked Bali Maharaj for. "Give me as much land as I can cover with 3 of my steps." So Bali Maharaj tried to speak to him and tell him that, "Actually, you know, why you ask for this? 3 steps of land, I mean, he was just a 5-year-old child. How much land can he cover in 3 steps? A couple of meters or less. Maximum 2 meters, perhaps." And Bali Maharaj said, no. "You don't ask for that. This is stupid. I can give you more." He said, "Anyone who asks anything from me should never have to ask anything from anyone else. That should be it for this lifetime. They just get everything." And he said, "Look, I can give you a planet. I can give you at least let me give you a country. At least let me give you a city." Peter Maritzburg. Mountain Rise, really? Allendale. Anyway, so he said like that. He said, "You know, you're very nice, but you are just a little boy. And even though you're very nice and pleasant and sweet, but you don't know the value of things. At least, let me give you a city or, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And then Lord Vamana, he replied, and let us just read this verse, it's very interesting, before we continue on. 8:19:21 Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yavato Vishaya Prishtas Trilokya Majitendriyam Na Shaknu Vanti Te Sarve Pratipur Purayatum Nripa. The personality of God, he had said, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Chibikramayar asantushto dvipanapi napuryate navavarsha samete na saptadvipa varechaya. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varsha. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. That's a very important thing to understand. That the appetite of the living entity, conditioned soul, for sense gratification, the capacity of the conditioned soul to want to gratify his or her senses is so great that even if one has the whole universe, one will not be satisfied. One will think, yes, I would like 1 rand. Then you get 1 rand. Then you think, I would like 2 rands. And many, not many, but some devotees I've met, and they've said, yes, you know, we want to do a business to make money for Krishna. So first of all, we will build up our business before we start giving the money to Krishna. We've got to build it up. So first of all, we'll make 1 million rands. Then we'll start giving money to Krishna. So anyway, you know, in a few cases, they did make 1 million rands. And so we said, okay, so now you're ready. We'll start giving money to Krishna. And the devotee said, well, now maybe we should make 2 million rands because we want the business to be very strong financially. So let's make 2 million. Then we'll start giving money to Krishna. Then they made 2. Then they said, well, maybe we should make 5, 10. And in the end, they never give anything to Krishna. Like, you know, in India, there's so many businesses with some spiritual name. Krishna's shop. And so on and so forth. There's so many. And in many cases, I even saw, would you believe, Krishna's BDs. This is really off the sky. You know what a BD is? You know what a BD is?
No.
That's good. It's a very strange type of little cigarette. So, and a lot of them, they make Krishna a partner in the business, legally. Legally. He becomes part owner. They give him a 10% share. It's very common. Very common. They give God, legally, a 10% share, or 20% in some cases, of the business. But the thing is, he never comes to collect his share. So they say, well, when he comes, we'll give his share. But in the meantime, we will use it. So, yes, the appetite, the capacity of the living entity to want to increase his or her enjoyment in material life is truly unlimited. Yes, so like this. Paul Getty, you may have heard, we've mentioned many times, he was the richest man in the world when I was a young person. He was asked once, do you have a philosophy of life? He said, yes, I have a philosophy. My philosophy can be summed up in one word, more. More. Whatever you've got, get more. So, like this. Now, Lord Vamadadeva is noting that. And he's making this very important point. That if I was not able to be satisfied with three steps of land, if that was not enough for me, then I would not be able to be satisfied if I had the whole universe. So we should understand, this is a very practical lesson for us as devotees. We should learn, Prabhupada had his famous slogan, motto, simple living and high thinking. That we don't bother trying to get more and more, bigger house, more motor cars, and so on and so forth. But whatever Krishna sends our way, without us having to make some big effort to get it to come our way, but whatever Krishna sends us, after we have made some moderate effort to get our necessities. So let's try and be satisfied with that without going out of our way to get more and this and that and a new one, a better one and a second one and a third one, you know? So on, like this. And if we try and live like that and keep our material necessities and requirements, not that we have to keep them down to just like the bare minimum, like practically nothing, just somehow or other eking an existence out. But we can live, you know, a moderate life, but no extravagance. No extravagance. This is very important. And if we do live like that, then we will have time. We will have time, we will have energy. And with that time and energy, we can do some meaningful Krishna conscious activity. Not like, you know, some devotees even, we know. They're working so hard to get money, morning to night, maybe weekends also, back and forth, so much. And we ask them, so you're chugging your rounds. And they say, yeah, all right. It's tough. And sometimes you see them snicking and ramming around. You know what I mean? Snick, snick, ram, ram, snick, snick, ram. The accelerated method of chanting your ram. Who was it told me the other day? I forget, someone told me. That she... Okay, yeah, I won't mention the name. You know the person. But this devotee, very nice devotee, was saying that she used to chant the Maha Mantra on her beads, but she would not chant one mantra per bead. She would just move her beads. And she would finish 16 rounds, she would say, she would try to do it in less than 10 minutes. This is express japa. Really like lightning japa. Japa at the speed of light. And one day, her friend phoned her and said, you chanted your rounds yet? She said, oh, I'm going to start, you know, as soon as we finish our phone call. So anyway, the phone call was finished. Then a few, like 10 minutes later, the friend remembered something else and phoned back. Just 10 minutes later, and said, oh, by the way, you know, I forgot this. And did you start chanting your rounds yet? And the devotee said, oh, I finished. So, what can you say? Uh-huh. Right. So, we should, if we live a moderate existence, and we don't go out of our way to over-endeavor and to accumulate things and so on and so forth, then we, if we use our intelligence about how we earn our living, then we should have some time and we should have some energy. Not just enough time to flop down in front of the TV and watch 2020. Is this the latest thing? Is it? Or is it sports? Whatever it is. Oh, it's the cricket. What do you watch then? Cartoons. Okay. So yeah, we should, when we say time, we mean some quality time. And you should have some quality energy to do some quality Krishna conscious activity. Then your life will develop. Even if you are a householder with responsibilities and having to do something for maintenance and so on. But this is a very important point, that we do not deny people that no, you cannot have a family, you cannot live, you cannot have a house, you must live under a tree. So, you know, like the six Goswamis, they would sleep under trees and they would move every night. They would move to a different tree. One reason was because under every tree, Krishna had performed some pastime. And at night they would sit under the tree. And they would not sleep under the tree. They would sit under the tree and realize the pastime that took place under the tree. So that was one reason. And so they would go from tree to tree to realize and experience all these different pastimes. But there was another reason. That was that they didn't want to become too attached to any tree. Just consider. We may become attached to our house, but they didn't want to become attached to the tree. Comfortable tree, I can sit back and lean against it and feel comfortable. They didn't want to become attached. So we do not demand, we do not even suggest that maybe you could try like that. Give it a go, see how it goes. Try for 1 month. If it doesn't work out, you can move back in. No, we don't even suggest or even consider. You can live a moderate existence, but don't be extravagant. And don't get entangled. But make sure that your work program is such that you get quality time with quality energy to do some quality Krishna conscious activity. Then you'll progress. You'll definitely progress. So this is the point that Lord Vamana is making. And that if we have that sort of burning sensation in the heart, that I need more. I've got one, but I need another one. I've got one, but I need a better one. Of course, sometimes the one, whichever one it is, whatever possession we have, you know, it breaks down, or we do actually need to get a new one. That happens. But not like, you know, when I was young in New Zealand, it was like, at least in the circle that our family was in, you had to change your car every year. And they were not just you know, Toyota Corollas either. No, you had to change your car every year. If you didn't change your car every year, it was like, oh, I see. People would look down their noses at you a bit. So, not like that. This is really so unnecessary, big distraction. And it means that we cannot be satisfied with Krishna. We need something else. So let us try to follow in the footsteps of Lord Vamana. Now, of course, we know that he was very tricky. His idea was to take back the kingdom, I mean the heavenly planets, or the universe, basically, on the appeal of Aditi and give it back to her children, the demigods. So Bali Maharaj tried to convince him, come on, ask for more. But he, as we've read, he was just saying, no, no, just give me my 3 steps of land. So in the end, Bali Maharaj said, all right, you take your 3 steps of land. And we know what happened. Well, actually, before it happened, what's his name, Shukracharya, tried to convince him. Shukracharya said, wait a minute, this is Lord Vishnu. He has come to take everything from you. So don't give him anything. But Bali Maharaj had already promised. And he said, look, you know, I cannot break my promise. And Shukracharya gave many reasons why you can break your promise. Yeah. So he said, first reason, if you give him 3 steps of land, he'll take everything. And then you'll not be able to maintain your life. Now the thing is, Shukracharya was the family priest. He was being maintained by Bali Maharaj. So the purport is that if you lose everything, you will not be able to maintain me. My standard of living will go down. Instead of Mercedes-Benz, I will have to drive Kia. And so on. Instead of flying to Joburg, I will have to take Greyhound. And so on. Then you'll go to hell. Then he says, very interesting reason. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Therefore you shouldn't give too much. He said, you may argue that you already promised, but in certain, some obscure scripture, it says that a promise must be upheld if before you make the promise, you have said Om. Otherwise, if you did not say Om, then you do not have to maintain that promise. So you can remember that one. If you make a promise to your parents. Then, so this is very tricky. That, therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects you completely. It draws the compassion of others. It gives you full facility to collect money from others, because they'll feel compassionate towards you. And like this. And then he makes a very interesting statement, ladies. Listen to this. In flattering a woman, to bring her under control. In joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So this is not actually a fact, but this is his warped intelligence. So don't worry, ladies. Srimad Bhagavatam is not saying that it's all right to lie to you, to bring you under control. So he tried to argue in many ways, don't give it, break your promise. Or just tell him, look, I changed my mind. I'm not going to give you anything, sorry. But Bali Maharaj wouldn't. He said, no, I gave my promise. I am keeping my promise. So the Lord expanded his body. With his first step, he covered the lower and middle planetary systems. With the second step, he covered the upper planetary systems. And then he turned around to Bali Maharaj and said, look, you said I could have three steps. With two, I took everything. Where am I going to put my third? You've got nothing more to give. And he told him, you are a cheater. You said I could have three steps of land. You only gave me two. I'm going to punish you. So he arrested him and tied him up and told him, I am sending you to hell. When this happened, the daughter of Bali Maharaj felt very disturbed that just see what this little boy has done to my father. It was extremely unfair. That young girl, she was like maybe 12, 13 years old, something like that. When she first saw Lord Vamana, a little earlier, when he walked in, she thought, this boy is so beautiful. I would like to have him as my son. But then when he did this, and he arrested Bali Maharaj, then she thought, okay, maybe I will have him as my son. But if I do, I'll kill him. And in her next life, she was born as Putana. And she tried to kill Krishna. So anyway, the Lord arrested Bali Maharaj and chastised him. You said you would give three steps of land. You only gave two. You are a cheater. And Bali Maharaj, after some time, he got the message. He said, okay, my Lord, that you can, your third step, you can put on my head. And he surrendered completely to Lord Bhanumadeva. So this is the significance of this occasion. The appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. He kicked the demons out, gave the universe back to the demigods, and then he returned to Goloka Vrindavan. So today is his appearance day. Today we fast till midday. It is Ekadasi. So afterwards we will take Ekadasi Prasadam and glorify Lord Vamana. And just like Bali Maharaj said, my Lord, that you put your step on my head. So we can also pray to Lord Vamana that I am not so willing to give you everything. I'd like to give you something, but not too much. Because I want to make sure I am materially secure. But I understand, even though I feel like that, still I understand, my intelligence knows, that really I should surrender everything. So please, please put your foot on my head. Let me surrender everything at your lotus feet. Yeah. We should try and do this on this day. Appeal to Lord Vamana. Please help me to surrender at your lotus feet. Just like Bali Maharaj did. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There's a couple of verses here. Just listen to this. Because he's being asked to cheat a Brahmin, who's also the Supreme Lord. But first of all, he's like a Brahmin. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. You never tell lies, do you? Never. You're good. You never tell a lie, do you? Are you lying now? I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmin. Yes. Any comment or question?
In terms of Bali Maharaj's failure to accept that he just was going to offer Vamanadev these three steps of land, and if he couldn't provide that, why offer him more than that even? So, you know, why offer something? Why offer him something which he couldn't really provide?
Well, he didn't know that.
Yeah. But in terms of him being satisfied to just accept the order and just fulfill that small desire of Vamanadev instead of offering him more than that, how is it that we can rationalize that sometimes we should be satisfied to just accept a simple instruction or order and not try to over endeavor?
Well, we have to have a little common sense to see, try and see what's appropriate. And if we are having difficulty, or if we don't have much common sense, then we should ask. We should inquire. You know, should I try and do more? Prabhupada said, if the spiritual master asks for water, don't give him milk. So we may say, I mean, this thing is obviously, we may say that he wants water, but milk is better. Milk is better. I want to offer something very nice, so I will offer something better. But that's really mental speculation. But if we don't have enough common sense, and we'll learn that in that, if we don't have enough common sense, we will periodically make wrong decisions and which mess things up for us. And if there's some pattern like that, then we should understand that, you know, rather than keep on doing this, when I'm faced with such a situation, I should inquire, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I try and do more? Or like that. Otherwise, it may also be a type of pride. Let me do more. Show how good I am. Any other comment or question?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. It's a general question on the verse on Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. In Maharaj, we are having this opportunity, Maharaj. It's a very rare and special opportunity of serving the spiritual masters. It's an opportunity. And
hearing Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, the translation states, Maharaj, that all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed.
Right.
Could you focus on why, Maharaj?
Okay. See, the thing is that sequence of verses, it starts a few verses before that, is describing the gradual development of devotional service from the very beginning stage to the fully liberated transcendental stage, step by step. That verse, so in other words, one verse is talking about first step, like Shraddha. Next verse is talking about maybe Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anathanavritti, Nishta, like this. That verse is talking about coming to the level of Nishta. That when a person comes to the level of Nishta, then so much of the contamination is removed. But not all, because they're only on the level of Nishta. They're not on the level of Bhava yet. They're not even on the level of Ruchi. And so there is some contamination, but the main contaminations which are there on the level of Anathanavritti and which one really has to try and deal with. On the level of Anathanavritti means the main gross contaminations. They've to a large extent been cleansed away, so that they're no longer providing, you know, serious challenges, serious disturbances in one's life. I mean, they're still there a little bit, but you can carry on positively without getting distracted and bewildered and struggling sometimes. You can just carry on. And sometimes some problem will arise because of some anathas which are still there, but you can easily just overcome it and push on without, you know, going back 10 paces and getting all sort of bewildered again. Got it? You understand, yeah? Yeah, this is the idea. It's about the level of nishta. Because, you know, if all those things were absolutely destroyed 100%, the person would not have to go through Ruchi and Asakti. They would be there on the level of Bhava.
Yeah.
They would be there. But they're not. So the point is that they have overcome the main obstacles. That's the thing. They've overcome the main obstacles. Yeah. Like, well, another old English saying. I mean, it's partially applicable. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard this one. It's all over bar the shouting. You familiar with that one? That means we're there. We're not there, actually. We're not there. But we're there. We're practically there. You familiar with that saying? We're there. We're not there. But we're basically there. As just, you know, some formalities. It's all over by the shouting. Isn't that the correct saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like that. It's not quite that far. Maybe on the level of a sakti it's like that. Because there's still traces on even on the level of a sakti. But it's something like that. But we're there. We've really, you know, come to the point where we can just go forward. It's not like, you know, we are now grappling with this and then that and, oh, what to do. We've gone through that. And we've come to the point where the worst is over. It's like that. The worst is over. Okay?
About Bali Maharaj's consciousness as a demon, he's given up on a drink of promise, and then thereafter the word of the Lord puts on his head. That's a very high consciousness.
He's a devotee. His grandfather is Prahlad.
Oh. Why don't you get a king of
the demons? Because they were in that line.
Oh.
That family line. Yeah? Yeah. So Prahlad became king of the demons. Because he's a pure devotee. Bali Maharaj was not up till that time really a pure devotee. He was also somewhat karma kandiya, and you know, give charity, why, to get some blessings. But he was a devotee, but when he surrendered fully, he became actually a pure devotee. Yeah. That was his complete. Everything became complete when the Lord put his foot on his head. So, yeah. And anyway, but otherwise, you know, many of those demons are very pious, but they're just non-devotees, therefore they're demons. This is what demon means, non-devotee. It doesn't necessarily mean that along with being a non-devotee, that the person is like extremely unpleasant or violent or vicious, you know, although many of them are. And in due course they will become, just by dint of their being non-devotees, the other bad qualities will just overcome them more and more. But many of these celestial demons are extremely pious. And even sometimes more pious than the demigods. You know, if you read in the sixth canto the story of Vritrasura, and of course he is a devotee, he's a pure devotee, just in a body of a demon. But he chastises Indra for being a nonsense. And he's right. Indra does a lot of nonsense. Like Indra killed Vritrasura, or Vishwarup maybe, and then he had to take the reactions for the sin of killing a Brahmin. So what he did, because he's very powerful, he gave the reactions to other people and they had to take them. You can read it in the sixth canto. There's some things, one thing to do with women, another thing to do with trees. I think there's one other. I think there are three groups. They took his sinful reactions. He just walked away because he's so powerful. But he committed that sin, very serious sin of killing, murdering a Brahmin. It's an extremely serious. So Vritrasura chastised him. You know, just because you're powerful, you can sidestep karmic reactions. But, you know, sometimes you're just like a dog. And the demigods, it's sometimes like that. Some of the demigods. So some of those demons are very pious, very austere, but they have one fault. They don't accept God. They don't accept God.
The Bhagavatam is advocating extremely simple life or practice of spiritual. Maybe it's not practical for all Grihasthas to be. Like it says, you know, accept the. Use your arms for pillows.
Yeah.
But it may not be practical to be so renounced.
That's why we have the Acharyas to show us in terms of time, place, and circumstances. in our cases, particularly Prabhupada. He showed us how to apply these principles, which may have been applicable in other ways at other times. But now, you know, when people had different natures to what they have now, and we're able to do things we're not able to do. So we should just follow the example of the acharyas in that regard. Yeah, because these are like details. The principle is simple living, high thinking. This is the principle. How? What is the form of it? What is your simple life? What are the elements it's composed of? That, and even your high thinking, how do you express your Krishna consciousness? How do you develop your Krishna consciousness? That will vary in terms of time, place, and circumstance. So that's the point there.
I was listening to a lecture by His Holiness Niranjan Swami, and he was speaking about actually Bali Maharaj and his level of surrender, and he said Atmanivedana. And then he was comparing this to the surrender of Ambarish Maharaj, and saying that devotees only aspire for that higher level of surrender, Saranagati. Could you further elaborate on those two?
Well, yeah, you know, Bali Maharaj was forced to surrender, and he did, but Maharaj Ambarish just wholeheartedly, he wanted from the outset, he wanted to not just surrender like, oh, okay, I surrender, but he wanted to just give his life and himself and everything to the Lord. So, and he did. It wasn't just like, you know, he's forced, you know, this way, that way, then, oh, okay, I surrender, when you just can't get away with it any longer. His idea was not really to give everything, at least initially. His idea was just give something. That was his practice. So it wasn't as wholehearted a mood of just like giving his life to the Lord for the benefit of the Lord. It was like surrendering, basically surrendering his possession. So there's a distinction in that type of sense. Ambarish Maharaj, he was so surrendered. I mean, not just surrendered. He was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. He would only do deity worship. He would not manage the kingdom. And he would just, the kingdom would be running. He would not do anything. He would just be in his temple room doing puja. And some people said, well, look, you know, we don't need him. He's not doing anything. So let's just, you know, it's like it's a farce saying that he's the king. He's not. He's a pujari. But the thing is, so that was his mood. He was just so absorbed like that, taking shelter of the Lord. But still, they say, that because just because he was there, everything was going on, even though he wasn't doing anything. So if they had taken him out, everything would have fallen to pieces. Just because of his presence, everything was going on. Any questions or comments from the children? Or from the ladies? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sri Vamana Dev ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.